You're coming to Iowa this week. You're bringing photos, all sorts of videos, and firsthand stories about the Great Barrier Reef. What is one key message that you would say you would hope to leave with Iowans?
I hope that I can just share how beautiful and strange and interesting coral reef environments are, and how unique and special the Great Barrier Reef is in terms of how colorful it is, how biodiverse it is, and how many incredible stories there are from all the types of life that live within coral reefs.
And we're constantly hearing how the Great Barrier Reef is threatened. What makes the reef so fragile? Is it pollution, climate change, human encroachment, all of the above?
All of the above. I mean, coral reefs, they've been around a long time, like hundreds of millions of years, but they've been really under a lot of pressure. So there's a lot of strength to them, but you know, there's also a lot of fragility because of the immense amount of pressure we're putting on them. One of the biggest problems is coral bleaching, and that happens when temperatures in the water are higher than the corals are used to. And that causes the coral animals to stress out and expel their algal symbionts, which is a special type of kind of plant-like organism that lives within them. And without that, without that power to, you know, collect energy from photosynthesis, the whole system starts to break down and the corals turn white and starve. And it's not just the coral animals, because the animals build these massive reef ecosystems. And we have warming oceans, we have marine pollution, we have overfishing, we have habitat destruction. It's just, it's coming at coral reefs from all angles. And there's a lot of built-in resilience and amazing ability to recover and heal. But it's a little bit much to ask coral reefs to withstand the pressures we're putting on them.
Iowa is a long ways from an ocean. How can people here help to preserve places like the Great Barrier Reef? Is there anything we can do, or how can we become better stewards of the oceans overall?
I love that question. Thank you. And what's interesting is, no matter where you live on Earth, we rely on healthy oceans. I mean, the ocean is what drives our climates. It what kind of buffers the effects of weather, and so much of the oxygen on Earth comes from the ocean. And even if you live on a coastline, you have very little engagement with the ocean in a lot of cases. I know a lot of people who live here in California that never go to the beach even. So it's something that we can all, no matter where we live, care about. And I think one of the biggest movements right now is to protect ocean environments and to try to protect 30% of the planet's ocean areas by 2030, which is a very, very tight timeline. And, you know, I don't like to be prescriptive necessarily in what I suggest people to do, because it's all about sustainability, right? And so people need to choose what works for them in their daily lives. That might be, you know, using your power as a citizen and a consumer to, you know, vote with your dollars, vote with your votes in terms of making decisions on our planet and in our country to protect our natural environments on land and in sea. There are also things you can do to support sustainable seafood. There you can reduce your, you know, marine pollution, depending on where you live and your local region. And it's also a matter of just learning a lot and talking to each other and joining ocean communities, whether they're online or in person. And whenever you get the chance, like, go have a positive, wonderful experience on a beautiful beach or lake, and just appreciate, you know, that we live on a water planet.
You are CEO of a nonprofit called The Hydrus. Is that how that's pronounced? Hydrus?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Talk a little about your mission. You've done a lot with virtual reality, letting people go underwater without getting wet. Giving them a taste of what diving is like without them having to actually go through certification.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I mentioned before, but there are so many barriers to ocean access and enjoying being underwater. I mean, people can't breathe underwater without expensive, time-consuming training and equipment. And I'm using virtual reality and other emerging technologies to try to make the ocean more accessible to everyone. And I'm a dive master, so I love taking people into the ocean. I've also been a kayak guide, and nothing can replace the real experiences. And experiential learning is so key to whether it's science careers or advocacy or marine protection, but like that's so important. And with my nonprofit, The Hydrus, my team and I have created immersive virtual experiences so that people can kind of have a feeling of what it's like. And virtual reality has this incredible power of recreating feelings of presence where you can truly trick your body and brain to feel like you're there. It's pretty amazing. And I'm part of a lab at Stanford called the Virtual Human Interaction Lab that conducts research on the effectiveness of these virtual immersive dives on things like presence and ocean literacy and empathy and connection to natural environments. And it's been really cool to see how effective it is as a tool.